Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. It is the WifeAbility.com morning show with your host, Adrian E. Bell. I am excited. It is going to be a wonderful day of riveting and exciting and real, raw, relevant dialogue, and I'm really excited about today. It's going to be a time of just some real talk and really getting down to the nitty-gritty of stuff. I'm excited about our, I call him part of our Hall of Fame, Chad Brown, who will be sharing some wonderful tips and just helping us to get over this hump about cheating. Hey, that word hump was not on purpose. I promise that was not a pun. But seriously, he really wants to, he's going to help us really get over some challenges because a lot of us are really struggling in the area of cheating and not necessarily because we're doing the cheating, but because we're being cheated on. And so there's a lot to discuss, and I'm just thankful that he took the time out of his busy schedule to come and join us, though we will bring him in just a moment. Before we do that, let's go ahead and pray and invite God into our conversation. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this time of fellowship. We thank you that we invite you into this conversation. We thank you even now that you're dwelling among us and that you get the glory out of this conversation and that everything that we say and do will hit bullseye into the lives of those people that are hurting, people that are suffering from the past and even current situations that they're going through. Father, we give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor. Everything we do and say, we trust you. We depend on you. We don't look to the left nor to the right, but we look to you for everything that we need and for everything that we're looking for. It can only come from you. And so, Father, bless our speakers today. I thank you for my co-host, both of the Denises and their lives, that you've allowed them to be in my life. I thank you for my husband and that he's given me this opportunity to fellowship with the people of God all over the globe. And so, Father, we give you all the praise, all the glory, and the honor. It's in the strong name of Jesus we pray. Amen and praise God. So I'm excited. Last week we had a wonderful conversation with Peter, and Peter Bradley, he was incredible when we talked about mental health, or actually we were talking about addictions and overcoming addictions, and it was a blessing to hear a man of God talk about addictions, because a lot of the times you don't hear a man of God discuss addictions. It's usually a person that's maybe a part of the industry, but they're not, they don't usually use biblical principles to help a person get past some of the things that they've been challenged with. But I thank God for Peter spending time with us last week, and it was an incredible time. This week is part two of our discussion. When we were talking about mental health, we were also talking about how sex is also, or people do suffer with sexual addiction. And we wanted to know, okay, is that real? I mean, do you really have an addiction? And some people do. Actually, Brother Chad touched on this in our last session. So if you didn't have an opportunity to listen to the show when he was with us last time after today's show, please go ahead and review that. But before we get too far, I want to make sure that I bring my wonderful and awesome co-host. I'm telling y'all, they undergird me in prayer like just real sisters in Christ, and I appreciate them. So Denise O and Denise J, good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you, ladies?
Good. Excited about today's show.
I know, right? I was really excited. I could barely sleep. I got up like way earlier than I normally do because I was excited. So as usual, Denise, if you could just talk about just any of the, one of the issues or concerns that we've seen in the church. It seems as if cheating has become acceptable in the body of Christ. And it's not just today, but even throughout the ages, you know, I think people are just, we become very numb to it. It's like, oh, well, that's okay, you know, stuff happens. So in your experience and what you've seen and experienced in the body of Christ and the kingdom of God regarding cheating slash affairs, however you want to look at it, what have you seen that has truly, truly grieved you about this subject?
What has grieved me about this subject with respect to the church is that they're allowing it to go on, knowingly allowing it to go on. And I'm not talking just from the pews, I'm talking from the pulpit. And so what you have is the pulpit engaging in cheating affairs and the pews thinking, oh, well, he's the pastor or she's the pastor. If they can do it, well, why can't I? So you have a sickness that is going, it's rampant in the church because our leadership is exhibiting that particular behavior. I remember as a little girl, this prominent minister, very prominent, who was in the lifestyle. And because he sang so well and sang to God, supposedly, then people accepted his lifestyle. But as a child, I would always think, well, if you're singing to God and you're in this lifestyle, that seems kind of wrong. But, of course, you know, 7 years old, I couldn't say anything or would have no teeth today. But this has been happening. It's rampant. It needs to stop. And I just have a warning for people who are out there in this cheating, emotional or physical affair. And as I was writing the words this morning, the Lord gave me this message, and I just, it's from the Lord. It's not from me. It's not from Adrian. It's not from my ability. This is straight from the throne, and I hope I can read my own writing because I was writing in the dark. I wasn't driving, don't worry. But the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 23, chapter 7, as a man thinking in his heart, so is he. So if you're thinking about having an affair, you're already cheating. You just haven't gone out and committed the act. And what the Lord showed me this morning was there are some who have actually planned for this coming weekend to go out and have an affair with that individual.
My God.
And the Lord is telling me, you are forewarned. Do not do this act. It will not be anything good. It will destroy you, it would destroy your marriage, and it will be would bring reproach to my name. Turn away from this sin, turn away from this person. You are listening on this call because you realize that what you are about to do is not right. We are responsible for what we hear. The word has gone forth telling you to do not go forth with your class this weekend to have an affair with this individual.
My God.
Ask the Lord.
Wow. You heard it here. So God never gives us, God never allows anything to happen to us without a warning. So the woman of God just stated, some of us have already made a pact with ourselves and with our potential lover that we're going to go and sleep with them this weekend. But we decree and declare that that plan is canceled in the name of Jesus, and whatever you're dealing with your spouse, that you will go and work that thing out, that you will put all the cards on the table, that you will quit playing around, quit hiding, quit deleting text messages, and just really go forth and do the things that you need to do in your marriage. Cut that other person off, you know, and they're probably your husband's friend or your wife's friend. Cut it off now. In the name of Jesus. Now, thank you, Denise. Denise, oh, good morning,
good
love.
Morning.
So share with us the same thing that Denise J was sharing about what has grieved you regarding what we've seen in the body of Christ. Because here's the thing. We get mad because people in the quote-unquote world or who are unsaved, they're cheating and doing anything. That's what unsaved people do. They cheat. They lie. They steal. That's what happens when you don't get saved. You do you. But some of us as Christians, we're like, well, you know, we're under grace.
we are the great. So even though I cheat, you know, God forgives me. And, yes, he does forgive. But, I mean, at what point do you say, I love God enough that I'm not going to cheat? I just choose not to. So, Denise, what have you seen that has grieved you regarding this subject?
Like Denise J. stated, that it's acceptable in our society, in our culture, in our churches, on our workplace. I wouldn't say that there was an instance that I've seen it firsthand in the church. However, we were away from the church when I experienced it. And it was sad because everyone around that person accepted the other person. They accepted not the wife. They accepted the girlfriend. And it was devastating because it's like, okay, so if we all are sitting around accepting this, then when my back is turned or if I'm away, you're going to accept anything that my husband may do or you're going to accept anything that I may do and that we're all sitting around like, oh, okay, yeah, you know, let's just pretend that this isn't happening. Everyone keep their mouth closed. Everybody be quiet. Don't say anything. And it was sad. It was sad to be there during that time, especially when everyone in the group knew the wife. But here's one that sticks out for me, that grieves me to no end. The work husband, the work wife, that grieves me to no end when we have okayed having our assistants or our coworkers as our work husbands or work wives. And we'll say it, come home, be like, you know, what did your work wife do for you today? Or what did your work husband do? And that it's okay. That is so not okay. I'm so glad that we are discussing what's the difference between cheating and affair, because to me it's no difference. I think it's the same, but obviously I'm completely wrong because we have an expert who would be able to shed light on it. But what grieves me the most is that we have accepted it, that we turn our heads away from it, and that we keep quiet, like it's okay, like it's the norm, and it's not. And it, like I said before, that work husband and work wife thing, just that there, you wanna put up a fight. Yeah, that there is disgusting, and it makes no sense. And I'm so glad that Denise J. had brought up the scripture and have forewarned, because there's people right now at this moment who's at work smiling and giggling with their work husband or work wife, or there's someone on the show right now that's not even contemplating but have moved forward and saying, okay, well, that doesn't include me because this is just a good friend or this is just my assistant or they helped me or whatever the case may be. But I want to say I believe the final act is the sex part or the phone call or the sex texting. I believe it starts early on in just communication or flirting, or that's just how I am, or I'm just a people person, I just like to have fun, that it starts there, and that that when you finally get to the act of infidelity or sex or sex texting, that is the end result of what has happened in the very beginning with just mindless or, just harmless flirting or, again, I'm just a people person, I just like to talk and have a good time, that turns out to something very detrimental, not just to the marriage, but to that person, because then you're looking for self-identity in the actual act. So that's where I am. And I'm excited about the show to learn about it.
Absolutely. And no, I won't say that you're completely wrong about that, cheating versus, because today's topic is cheating versus having an affair. And, in theory, it's all the same. But in execution, it's completely different because, and that's what Chad and I are going to get into today,
is the execution of it is different. And the matters of the heart, that's different than, because I can go out and have a booty call and I never see that person again. If, God forbid, I don't get pregnant by that person, okay? But if I have an affair with somebody that maybe I've known, a family friend, a family member, hello, that, and so I still got to see this person. I still have to interact with this person. So cheating and having an affair, is, as far as application or execution, in my opinion, is different. So let's bring the expert, the master himself, Chad Brown. Good morning, love.
Good morning, ladies. How are you all doing?
Good morning.
Good morning to all of you who are listening in via radio and your phones and whatever other devices you use to tune into this wonderful and insightful show. If I sound like I am just waking up, it is because I have not too long ago just waken up, so forgive me. if my voice...
Well, it's almost 6 a.m. there, so...
It is 6 a.m., and so forgive me if I sound so sexy this morning. I'm not doing it on purpose.
My God. Y'all just begin to intercede even now for him because he's going to wake up in just a second. No, he's actually awakened, and I'm thank God for you being here today, Chad. So let's get right into it. I thank God for the Ministry of Wifeability, and shout out to all the ladies who have been faithful to the ministry. We have over 600 plus wives that even if they don't post in our private group, they still look and see and learn and put the things in place that God puts on our heart to share and minister to our husbands. One of the major things, Chad, that wives, not just in Wifeability, but all over the globe, they really struggle with. If your husband has cheated, okay, you either decide I'm going to stay or I'm going to leave. That's really the decision, the deliberation process. But what I'm finding, Chad, is that a lot of women, they suffer in their marriages because of what might happen. Not what did, not what took place, but what might happen. And I was one of those wives where I was thinking, no matter what happened, no matter how much sex I put out, no matter what I did, my husband would still cheat. And it's like, well, what kind of life is that where you're in bondage, or because your girlfriend's husband cheated or even your daddy cheated, you think that your husband's going to cheat. And my daddy didn't cheat that I'm aware of. Just let me put that on the record, okay? So what I'm saying is that what can we say to the wife, Chad, who puts herself, from a man's perspective, who puts herself in this bondage of he might cheat or he may cheat, or I don't put anything past any man. How do you as a man minister to that woman?
I read an acronym for the word fear, and many of you might have heard of one that's very familiar. Fear is false evidence appearing real. But I read another one that described fear as failure expected and received, F-E-A-R, fear, failure expected and received. And fear is a funny thing because I think that and I'll show this in the scripture as well, but I think that people who operate in the spirit of fear, that spirit of fear will cause things to happen in your life that ordinarily would not have happened. When you read the story of Job, you'll see how everything aesthetically was looking good in Job's life. And Job was the richest man at that time. He had a wonderful family. He had money. He had stocks, cattle. He had everything that anybody could possibly want and need in that time. And life was well. But then once God allowed Satan to tempt Job, once God removed the hedge from Job to expose really where he was in his life. The Bible records Job as saying, "That which I have feared the most has come upon me."
Mm-hmm.
Which is interesting because, and I don't want to get up too far off subject, but that's interesting to me because you would think that with Job having it all together and having a wonderful family and having all the money that he needed and all his needs are met, you would think that someone in that position would not have any fears. But it's amazing to me that it's apparent that Job did not have any peace in his heart or in his mind because all the while things are going great in his life, in the back of his mind, he has a fear of losing it. He says, "What I have feared the most has come upon me." And I just think that the spirit of fear will cause certain things to happen, you know, in your life. And so for those women who, you know, they get married, get in relationships, already with a fear of that which has not even happened yet, I think that, you know, it's not healthy, number one. It's not healthy. I think that it prohibits you from really being able to freely love someone. I just don't think you can freely love and fully commit to the trust factor with that kind of fear operating in your life, the fear of, is it not going to work out? Is he going to cheat? Is he going to be faithful? Is it really going to be till death do we part? And that's why walking by faith is so important, because even as it relates to marriage and relationships, you've got to trust God.
Right.
You've got to trust God. You've got to trust God. It's more than just trusting that person to take care of you. You have to trust God. And then that's also why it's important to marry people who you believe have a strong relationship with God. Part of the issue with the divorce rate in the church and the whole marriage breakdown in the church, part of the issue is not the only one, but this is definitely a major part, is you have so many people who are unequally yoked with unbelievers.
Oh, wow.
The Bible warns us. It says, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. You know, we're expecting people who do not have a relationship with God to keep God's commandment. We're expecting people who don't have any kind of prayer life or word life or any sort of relationship other than saying Our Father prayer. You know, they don't have any kind of relationship with God, and we're expecting them to, you know, honor God in their marriage when they don't honor God in their own personal lives. And that creates conflict. And I know, well, I personally know a lot of people in church. That's why when you go to church, you know, the church is, you know, 75% to 80% comprised of women. It's very seldom that you will go to a church where the number of men outnumbers the number of women. And so, you know, you got all these women in church seeking God, wanting a better life, wanting to, even married women, go to church, bring the kids, the husband stays home. He has no word in his house. He's not rooted. He has no foundation in his life, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you got this woman going and getting all this power and going and getting all this strength and all this inspiration, and then she's going back home only to realize that at the end of the day, she's not the leader of the family. And if the leader is not getting it, it's going to be some, it's going to be some corruption. It's going to be some issues and some problems. You know, it's enough problems when you're with a man, you know, who does have a relationship with God, who is pursuing the things of God, who is trying to walk in His purpose. You still have issues there. So just imagine being with someone who does not have that kind of relationship with God. And then I'm going to pause because I know we want to get into the matter, but I also want to say this while I'm on this, in this vein, and that is one of the other things that I've discovered about, you know, why marriages are really not as strong as they should be. I don't want to get too ahead of myself. Maybe I should pause on that. I'll pause because I know we're going to get to it. I don't want to get too ahead of myself. But yeah, so that's what I would say about the women who have that fear. Remember that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, of power, and of a sound mind. You know, I said it before, I believe, on this call, that just because the enemy plants a seed in your mind doesn't mean that you have to water it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because the enemy tries to plant those seeds, that means you have to water it. You know, if your husband gets up and go get in the shower and the enemy plants a seed for you to go and look through his cell phone and see what he's been up to, you know, that's not trust, and that's an indication that you don't have a sound mind. Something's going on in your mind that would cause you to do something like that. You know, well, it's the truth, whether, you know, whether folk want to admit it or not. So, you know, we need to pray for peace of mind. God, as I move into this area in my life, help me to have peace. And listen, and if you can't have peace before you get married, maybe you should just put it off a little while until you have that peace.
I know that's right. Wow, and you're right, because a lot of single women, or like I said, unmarried women, they go in with this notion, even when they meet guys, they give them their resume of all of the things that they've endured with other men and things of that nature right up front, and they're just like, you know, and I don't want a man like this, and are you this way, and you're just like, you know, do you cheat, have you cheated, how many baby moms you got, I mean, just first date, it's like, can we just have coffee? Like, why does it have to be like that? So talking to the single women, Chad, and we're going to get into the cheating versus affair in a minute, but talking to single women, how can they spot, or will they be able to spot a quote-unquote potential cheater from a distance? Like, some things are just automatic, like, deal breakers, even before you date, give them your phone number, whatever the case may be. So as a man, what is an automatic deal breaker where you're like, you know what, I'm going to tell you now, sis, don't go there?
An automatic deal breaker. You know, a person's conversation. Again, you know, they're referring to me as an expert because I have revealed much of my personal life on the first call. Those who know me know I'm very transparent. But one deal breaker is, you know, when you're first meeting a guy, if he's already bringing up the subject of sex and, you know, and y'all haven't been talking and knowing each other for hardly any time, to me that's a red flag. That's a red flag. If you've been, you know, communicating and he's sort of, you know, what people will do, especially men will test the limits. Men will test the limits to see how far they will go. They will continue to push to see what you will and what you won't respond to. You know, that's a deal breaker. I tell you what, another way you can know is straight up let the guy know, listen, I'm not having sex until I get married. I'm not coming over to your house because I'm not having sex until I get married. You're not coming over to my house because I'm not having sex until I get married. And, you know, most guys who are only interested in sex, most guys, you might hear from them for the next 2 days because they're trying to, you know, they're trying to deceive you and make you feel like even though you said it, that they're still down, but they will eventually vanish. And then there's the other guys who will, because they think they have enough swag to change your mind, they will, you know, they'll try to, you know, deal with it for a time and then bring up the idea of, you know, hey, why don't you let me cook for you? I mean, I know that you said that, you know, we're not having sex. I mean, then that's fine. And then you'll get there and they got, well, what you got rose petals on the bed for? And why you got a bubble bath drawn, you know, because just come over to my house and I'm going to just cook and we're going to do that. And you get over to the house and he got rose petals everywhere and candles lit and playing Joe in the background and all this kind of other stuff. You up to something. People just have to be aware of, you know, of the signs. You know, people whose mouths are filled with flattery. You know, read the, I don't know exactly where it is in the book of Proverbs. I can find it before the end of the call, but it's also about people who have flattering lips. You know, people whose mouths are filled with flattery. And then ask yourself a question. what value can this person add to my life? What value can this person add to my life? You know, I guess I'm getting a little sick and tired because I have two sisters, you know, of my own who, you know, who I have seen just make poor decisions